That's what everybody's looking for, is power from God. That's what, you know, all the hippies in the 70s and the Beat Generation and the guys in the 30s who thought we wanted only one giant clean civilization until Hitler blew all that up because he got too extreme with it. And now, you know, you have the New Age people in Sedona, and it's, oh, they just want power from God. And they got their crystals and their tarot cards. But this is what everybody's looking for, power from their God. That's what they want. And Jesus Christ is saying, wait, and you're going to get it. You will receive power from God. Go to Acts 2. And so they stayed. The rent was paid anyway, so they stayed. And then Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They all received the gift of Holy Spirit. They all received Spirit, and the proof that they had received Spirit was now they began to speak with other tongues as God, the Spirit, directed them, as God gave them the utterance. So they now receive power from on high, a connection with God. They now had Holy Spirit, and the proof was something new. They spoke in tongues, first time. This is new. They used to prophesy. Here now they spoke in tongues. Look at chapter 10 of Acts. Something new. And it says there that they were speaking the wonderful works of God when they were speaking in tongues. Now, God has Peter go to the Gentiles in Acts 10:44, and the Gentiles also are going to receive this same Holy Spirit, and the proof that they receive it, once again, will be speaking in tongues. Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision, he had brought six guys with him, six former Judeans who are now part of the body of Christ, which believed, and they were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. How did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They spoke in tongues. Gentiles. Now, it was foretold in the book of Joel and then laid out by Peter that it was going to be men, women, young, old, servant, free person. Didn't matter if you were black, white, green. Didn't matter if you had $1 million, a million shekels in the bank, or if you didn't have any shekels at all. Didn't matter what football team you rooted for. It was available to all now. And basically, that's what happened. They, the Gentiles, look at 11:17. Acts 11:17. On the next page. We read, for as much then as God gave them, the Gentiles, the like gift as he did unto us, the Judeans. So the Judeans, the Jews, the Gentiles, all the other people got the like gift, same gift. It wasn't a different spirit for born-again Jews than it is for born-again Gentiles. It's not a different spirit if you're older or younger or greener or whatever, or if you got more money. It's the same gift unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter said, what can I do? You know, that I could withstand God. And I know God didn't ask us, you know, what we thought about all of this. He just did it. Amazing how God will do things like that. He doesn't have to ask people's permission. He goes ahead with the master plan. And that was available now for all to receive Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Proof, Gentiles. Proof, Jews. They spoke in tongues. Prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but in here, in this chapter, it lays out many of the usages to speaking in tongues. Why? What is it? In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 is where we'll start. Follow after charity, or pursue love. Charity is agapeo, agape. It's the love of God that you put on in your renewed mind. You live this love that's born within you. In manifestation. So pursue or follow love. Go after love. And then desire spiritual matters. Gifts in italics. It's not in the Greek text. It's spiritual matters. The things pertaining to the Spirit. We're to desire these spiritual matters. And we should prophesy. Why? Because he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. So when you speak in tongues, you're speaking directly to God. You're not speaking to men. For no man, the individual, doesn't understand. When you speak in tongues, you don't understand what you're saying. Howbeit, via the Spirit or in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries or divine secrets. You are talking to God, mysteries, divine secrets, when you speak in tongues. But he that prophesies speaks unto men. So when you come in here, and we gather for a fellowship, I don't just speak in tongues. That doesn't do anything. It helps me, profits me, like it says. But it doesn't profit my mind because I don't know what I'm saying. And it doesn't profit you because you know what I'm saying. But if we prophesy in the language of the people present, then everybody here will be built up. He that prophesies speaks unto men, the people present, edification, exhortation, and comfort. So edification, encouragement, comfort. That's what you will, when you come and you will hear prophecy. So he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself. It's for the individual, private prayer life, builds you up. But when you prophesy, you build up the church. You build everybody up who's listening, still awake and listening. Then they get built up where? In the renewed mind. When you speak in tongues, you get built up in the Spirit. But when you prophesy, it blesses everybody there. And it will bless them by edification, encouragement, and comfort. So verse 5, I would that you all spake with tongues. So that's the commandment, that speak in tongues. God would like everybody to speak in tongues and also to prophesy. Because in the church, it's greater that you prophesy than he that speaks with tongues unless you interpret. So the church can receive edifying. So again, it's very clear. You speak in tongues, it's for you. You get built up. You prophesy or interpret tongues, the church get built up. And God wants everybody blessed. So that's why, you know, greater, you think it's, they're all the same and they're all needed, they all have different purposes. In the church, prophesies better in the church because everybody's built up. And that's what it's telling us here. Now, go to 14:14. 14:14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is fruitful. So when you speak in tongues, it doesn't help your mind, outside of the fact that you know you're a joint heir with Christ and all the different accomplishments for speaking in tongues, but you don't understand what you're saying. So what is it then in verse 15? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. So what we have here is two different types of prayer. Prayer with the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues, and prayer with your understanding that will edify your mind. Now go to look at 14:22. We've got one more verse you want to look at about speaking in tongues. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. You know, if you believe and understand what tongues are, it's not a sign anymore for you, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serve not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Prophesying again, for everybody here, speaking in tongues is a sign. Somebody comes in, they're speaking in tongues with interpretation. They go, what is that? Like I did. Oh, what is that? I'm a science teacher. I didn't see that in any of my textbooks. What is that? And they say, well, you didn't read this textbook. Oh, okay. And so when I read this textbook, it was all over the place and help us understand it. So it's a sign to those who are uninstructed, that have not known about the Spirit from God and how it can be utilized correctly. We go to Romans 8. Now, speaking in tongues, why do you do that in prayer if you don't know what you're saying? Well, that's why there's two types of prayer. One type is praying with your understanding. But there may be times where you don't know exactly what needs to be prayed for, and that's where we can pray in tongues. When we speak in tongues, then Romans 8, 26 will help us to understand this. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. Well, what is our infirmity? It's singular. Our infirmity is we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I wake up in the middle of the night and Ed is on my mind and I don't know what's wrong with him or what's going on. So I can say, God, whatever situation Ed's in, please take care of it. Or I can just start speaking in tongues, which would be more powerful. So there are things we don't know specifically what we should pray for, so we speak in tongues for it. And the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Because I don't know what to pray for specifically, so I can speak in tongues. My spirit to God who is spirit, and God directed towards the situation. He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the minds or the thoughts of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for saints according to the will of God. So when you speak in tongues, you can pray according to the will of God in the situation. And you don't know what the will of God is sometimes, but when you speak in tongues, you can. You can get a specific person or a specific situation in mind, and you can pray in tongues for that situation. You don't know exactly what's needed. Ed just probably needed to find a White Castle, you know, have a snack in the middle of the night. It was something that simple. But I didn't know what it would be, but God does, and that's why we can speak in tongues for different situations. Ephesians 6. But it will be according to the will of God. So there are two very powerful ways to pray. One with our understanding, expecting God to hear and answer, and it builds our mind up because we're giving the situations to God, and others because we're not sure what's needed, we can speak in tongues for it. 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that word for supplication is the specific needs. We should pray always, first off. And we pray in the Spirit, and we pray with our understanding, but we can pray always with all prayer and specific requests, supplication, in the Spirit. So we're to pray for specific needs, specific situations, in the Spirit, by speaking in tongues. It specifically tells us that. Pray always with all prayer and supplication, or for specific situations, in the Spirit. So you speak in tongues for situations, and God will direct and guide and help. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. A lot of times, you know, by praying in the Spirit, God's protection over the saints is there, even more so. Look at Romans 12. So prayer is a good thing. And we have two different types of prayer in our day and time. And we should utilize both. Because it says stuff like praying always. Here's another exhortation on prayer. 12:12. 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We're to continue instant in prayer. Continue. That's not, you know, every now and then, is it? A little bit more of a mental activity for our prayer life. Continuing instant in prayer. Here, 1 Thessalonians 5 is pretty clear. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, a familiar scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What does that tell you? Well, pray without ceasing. It interprets itself right where it's written. So we should pray a lot, and we have two access to talking to God about specific things in our lives and in the lives of the church and other things that's going on. Look at Matthew 6, because this helps to understand that prayer is talking to God. It's not a rote, memorized prayer that people all say at the same time and all of that. Matthew 6, verse 5. The apostles came and wanted to know how to pray, and 6:5. He said, Jesus is teaching them. He says, and when thou prayest, don't be a hypocrite. Don't pray like the hypocrites do. They love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward, because they get the praise of men. The Pharisees would stand in the street corner and pray loud and long so they could be noticed. One of the reasons they were noticed, wanted to be noticed, is because there were many widows that couldn't conduct business. They had to have a man do it. And so they would look for a good religious man who would handle their affairs. And so they would stand there, and the widow would walk by, oh, that looks like a good religious Pharisee. He can handle my affairs for me. That's why they were out there. But you, verse 6, when you pray, go into your prayer closet. Have a closet big enough to go into. Now, of course, this is a figure of speech. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Don't say the same prayer over and over and over again, because if you have, you know, as the heathen do. And I like that, because he's addressing the Pharisees and he's calling them heathens. When you pray, use not vain repetitions like the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows which things you have need of before you ask him. All right, God knows what is your need, but he still says, ask. He knows, but it's okay to ask. Talk to him. You don't have to, well, God already knows, so I don't need to talk to him about it. He'll just take care of me. Well, that's true to a degree, but God is saying, look, I know what you need. Ask me, and we can have fellowship then. We can get this thing together. I want to be involved. I want you to know I'm involved. I know you need a job. Okay, just ask, though. You know, I know you need it, but I'll ask. I'll take care of you. And then he gives this illustration of how to pray, which has become exactly a vain repetition, which is real unfortunate. All right, Mark 1. Matthew, Mark, we're almost done. But no teaching dealing with prayer and the fact that we should pray a lot is really complete without looking at Mark 1:35. Because if anybody was exempt from prayer, you'd think it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a connection with God. He had it down. He didn't need to pray. Well, a contrario. Mark 1:35, we read, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed to a solitary place, and prayed. He had a specific goal in mind. He wanted to pray, and he wanted to get away where nobody would be able to see him and bother him and go to his prayer closet, which was crowded with everybody, and so he'd get away. He would go to a solitary place and get his day together with the Father before he went out and faced the masses. So, we go to John 4. So Jesus Christ prayed. He made it a point. It was a big deal for him to put it into his schedule to be able to pray. And he couldn't pray in the Spirit yet. It wasn't available until he accomplished his work. In fact, he talks about it here in John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. It's the figure speech in diades, where the second noun is used as an adjective. The Father wants to be worshipped truthfully via the Spirit. For the Father seeks such to worship him. The Father, God, has a help wanted sign out. Seeking people to worship me by the Spirit. We don't discriminate. Available to all. The hour comes. Jesus is saying it will be coming soon. If you want to be a true worshiper of God, you can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking those to worship him because God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit. We close in Philippians 3. So, we want to worship God via the Spirit by speaking in tongues. We want to pray for specific needs that bypass our understanding by speaking in tongues. We also have regular prayer that we can talk to God about, which helps our mind get in tune with him about specifics that need to be done. And you know what happens when you do that sometimes? He'll give you an answer. Like, call this person, or check on this job, or take your car in, or whatever. You know, God will answer prayer. And we close in Philippians 3:3, and I want to read you the New American Standard Version here of Philippians 3:3. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. That is who we are. We understand we can worship God via the Spirit, and it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ because of his accomplishments, and we get prayers answered. We worship God properly, and we in turn then can enjoy the more abundant life. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this gift of Holy Spirit, being able to utilize speaking in tongues properly, and also that we can pray with our understanding so our minds can be have understanding as we pray for specifics. We're thankful, Father, that you've made it available to help others in need or other specific situations just because You love us so much. You've given us this opportunity to be able to worship you and to get specific needs answered and to be able to help in situations where we don't know exactly what we need to do. We're grateful again for your love and understanding in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.